Good morning. We have a communion today, but before that, let's read from our Bible. Please open Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. We have become Christians by believing in Jesus Christ. And if somebody asks you, what kind of blessing have you received after becoming a Christian, can you explain that, your blessings that you have received? Not too many people may be able to answer that question quickly. We have been studying the book of the Ephesians, and the passage we just read a few minutes ago, and it's like one important paragraph. It begins with the phrase, praise be to the God, and it ends with the phrase, to the praise of his glory. And basically this passage says, because of all the blessings we have received, all we can do is to praise God. And the Apostle Paul is moved by what he wrote here. And he's full of, in a sense, excitement because of what he realizes. He is imprisoned. And in spite of the fact he is imprisoned, he's thanking God for all the blessings he has received. Some of you may think the passage we read today is kind of a little bit boring and makes me sleepy. But if you don't realize how much blessing you have received through Jesus Christ, you may feel that way. But Paul, in spite of his imprisonment, when he thought about the blessings he received through Christ, He was excited. He was full of emotion in that sense. And the blessings Paul is referring to is the fact that we are chosen as God's children through Jesus Christ, and our sins are forgiven, and the Holy Spirit has been given to us. These are the three things, three blessings that Paul is explaining. And because of that, he is so thankful to God. And there is nothing that is lacking. That's what Paul is saying. And he calls these blessings as... by saying that, you know, Jesus Christ blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. So the fact that we are chosen, we are forgiven, and we received Holy Spirit, these are blessings in the heavenly realms. So let's learn about more in detail each of that three. If you look at verse 4, it says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." You know, we in this secular world, we are fighting to try to be chosen, aren't we? And if you're not chosen, we are worried. And if we're not chosen, we complain. Our organizations choose us, other people choose us. We are chosen based on secular standards. And we are filled with fear and thirst and uncertainty because sometimes we're not chosen. And we are competing and fighting to be chosen in this secular world. And that often becomes our goal in our lives. So we work hard, we make efforts to be chosen. We spend time to be chosen. We pay sacrifices so that to be chosen in this secular world. And then when we are not chosen, we feel a sense of inferiority and we try to be protective of ourselves. And that's how we live often in this secular world. And when I look at my own life, I think, you know, I started to think about being chosen when I was in the third grade in the elementary school. I've talked about this before, but my first fight to be chosen was to go to a special, to go to a private middle school. I wanted to go there. I wanted to be chosen to be able to admit it to that school. So I had to go to cram school, juku, in Tokyo. So that's when I started, when I was in third grade. And then after that, I learned, you know, how calligraphy, kendo, and swimming, and all of these things I learned so that I can be chosen into having these special certificates, and to be chosen by the friends, and to be chosen by schools, and to be chosen by people who I liked, and to win competition, and to be chosen to get at these part-time jobs. And so I was fighting, I was competing. And to feel this sense, a short sense of superiority, I was fighting to be chosen in this secular world. Of course, not everything was bad. Of course, some of them were beneficial to us, but there was no salvation in all that, those experiences. To be chosen was not salvation. And of course, and we have that desire. But we have this desire because of our separation from God. But the only way to fill that desire is to be chosen by God. by recovering our relationship with God. When our relationship with God is severed, we have this inherent desire to be chosen. And the only way to be saved is that through our relationship with Jesus Christ, to restore our relationship with God. Our secular world chooses us or does not choose us, but God chooses every one of us. God is waiting for us to accept His invitation. Here in this worship hall, every one of you are here because God has chosen you. Because God tried to bring you to Him. So whether we know it consciously or not, God has chosen us and brought us here in this worship hall. And then why has God chosen us? Based on what qualification? Based on what condition? What standard did God use to choose us? Let's look at the Bible passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 through 29. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 through 29. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. So in that sense, He doesn't have really standards like in the that we see in the secular world. But if we had to point out, the standards are the foolish things, the weak, and the lowly, and the despised. These are the people he chooses. It's not like you have to be handsome, you have to be experienced, you have to have lots of abilities and knowledgeable. But it says it's the foolish, the weak, and the lowly. So that means everybody's included in His when He chooses us. It's not like people can expect a lot out of you, or make an economic profit out of you. No. It's based on God's grace. And when you understand that, you come to see people, and including yourself, very differently. Then you don't have you don't have to have a sense of inferiority. And at the same time, you cannot boast. There is nothing you can boast, because you are weak. You are lowly. And because of that, you are chosen. So only thing you can have is thankfulness. So we need to thank God, and we need to confess our thankfulness to God. Now let's talk about second blessing, forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins is given to those who are chosen by Jesus Christ as God's children. Because Jesus Christ paid the price by bleeding on the cross, and He redeemed us. And this is the second blessing that we have. Do you know former President Jimmy Carter, the 39th President of the United States? He is now 96 years old, and his wife, Rathering, is 93 years old. And then they had a 75-year anniversary. And of all the presidents in the history of the United States, he has the longest married life. So they are very friendly to each other, of course, and they love each other. And he was invited to a special lecture at Harvard University. And one of the students asked Kim a question. What's the secret of your happy marriage? What is the secret of your happy marriage? And this is what President Carter said. 30% of love and 70% of forgiveness. And then his wife interjected and said, no, no, that's not true. 10% of love and 90% of forgiveness. And everybody laughed with applause. What an incredible things that they said. They are, you know, both Christians, and before they go to sleep every night, they read the Bible together, and they forgive each other. So to have a happy married life, it's not just love. It's more important is forgiveness. Love is, of course, means forgiveness, and forgiveness is a way to restore a relationship, and that's the secret. And of course, that applies to our relationship with God as well. The relationship between God and us is needs to be based on forgiveness. Because Jesus Christ forgave us through Jesus Christ, our relationship with God is restored. And that's why we can maintain a happy relationship with God. Sometimes, of course, I complain, but when I look at my own situation objectively, I can see it's the God who is forgiving me 100%, and that's why I have a good relationship with God. Sometimes I complain, you know, why, God, are you so silent? Why you seem to do nothing? So that's how I complain. But after a while, I realize that God for his forgiveness. And so when I do not seem to get any response, that time, of course, is very meaningful. And at the end, I always realize that I'm forgiven, and I thank God. We all have a burden that we carry. Sometimes we have sickness, we have financial problems, we have social failures, we have psychological issues, we have family problems. But the biggest burden that we carry is the burden of sins that we commit. And that the burden of sin makes us miserable. So one of the largest blessings that we have received is the fact that we are forgiven through Jesus Christ. Once we are forgiven, to die can be a blessing. If you look at Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, it says, Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, then I heard a voice from heaven say, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. So to die can be a form of blessing as well. That's what the passage says. And we don't like to talk about death. And sometimes, you know, we don't like the in Asian in Japan that we don't like the number four, but because four is pronounced as shi, which is the same as death. So sometimes hotels do not have the fourth floor. But if you die in Christ, it's still a blessing, because after death you will have eternal life. But when you are dying, money, your secular success, honor, is not useful. Let's say you are very thirsty in a desert, and let's say there is a bag, a leather bag, and let's say when you open the leather bag, let's say it has lots of treasures, gold, silver, and other jewels. But when you are starving, you're dying because of thirst, those things will not be useful at all. It's not useful at all. That's why God, Jesus Christ said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." So before we die, and when the death becomes blessing, when we have forgiveness of sins in Christ, because we have the right to go into heaven when our sins are forgiven. So one of the largest blessings that we have is the forgiveness of sins. Now let's talk about number three. The third blessing is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is within us, is residing in us. If you believe in Jesus Christ, incredible changes take place in your life. And that's what you have experienced. And that's it's the Holy Spirit that produce those changes. If you look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, it says, it talks about... it talks about a seal. It talks about a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. And it's a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. But this seal shows that we are saved and we are chosen. And even if we die, we will have eternal life. And the Holy Spirit has come. That's what the seal is about. So we have God chose us and God forgives us. And to understand that, God gave us the Holy Spirit who has come into our heart. And of course, we are always doubtful, but continues to give us assurance that we are saved until the day that Jesus Christ comes back. The Holy Spirit gives us the assurance that we are saved. And when this Holy Spirit comes into our lives, our world changes. And the secular world may not change, but the way we see the world changes. Instead of looking at your life as the end of your life, but you see, because you realize you have eternal life, you are in full of thanks. And so when you have challenges and hurdles in this life, you realize they're not big. Because now you realize you have spiritual freedom, even if you have physical constraints. So we have received these blessings. God chose us to make us His children. God gave us forgiveness through the crucifixion of Jesus. and the Holy Spirit is residing within us. And people in the Old Testament believed, you know, you'll die when you see God. And then, and the Jewish people were, had a special ceremony to experience God. Now, Holy Spirit lives within us. We don't necessarily have to go to Israel to experience and understand God. God has come to us through the Holy Spirit. So, and when you understand all these blessings, there's nothing you need to fear. There's nothing you need to worry about. And what is surprising is the fact that we have done nothing to receive these blessings. It's not like because we sought these blessings that God is giving us. It's not like we had the right, we had qualification, or we lived sinless life, or anything like that. As Paul repeatedly confessed, because of Jesus Christ, because of what Jesus Christ done for us, did for us, we are, have these blessings. It's not, has nothing to do with our power, our knowledge, our behavior, has nothing to do with that. So we cannot boast of our salvation. You know, we often are proud. But this has nothing to do with that. All we need to do is to be thankful to God. And it's not like some people bless more than others. It's not like me as a pastor is getting more blessings from God. No, everybody is equally blessed. So nobody is lacking anything. When you look at the standards used in the secular world, we seem to be unequal. And we are very different. And of course, we are very different if we use standards used in the secular world. And some people seem to have a lot than others. So, then we complain that God is unfair. But our blessings from God are given to us equally. So the most important blessings has been given to us equally. Some people may live longer, and some people live up to, let's say, 100 years old. But that 100 years may be filled with labor and disasters. But that what we have in Christ is eternal life. That's one of the blessings. And what we have in that eternal life is joy and happiness. So we may have tears and labor in this world. But when we enter eternal life, we will have joy and happiness. So although we see unfairness in this world, but eventually, because God gives us spiritual blessings, we will be equal. And to assure us that, God gave us the Holy Spirit. Again, so what we can do is to be thankful to God and praise God. Next week, we have Ichihachi-sensei And he's doing work in Kenya, providing education to children in Kenya. And it's, of course, difficult work in Kenya. And he says that one of the important things is to say yes to Jesus always. From chapter 1 of Ephesians, Paul continues to say that we need to praise God. In spite of the fact he was imprisoned, he was in a prison created by human beings, but still he was praising God. So we have to do the same. When we realize all the blessings we receive from God, we need to be praising God. We need to thank God. You need to think about the meaning of the cross of Jesus Christ. And when things go bad around you in this world, but we need to be thankful to God. And then we begin to see the glory of God in our lives. God's hand is on us. God is protecting us. God is blessing us. And you realize some of the things that happen every day are many miracles. And sometimes we do realize and we experience miracles God performs. Because God, when we are thankful and praise God, it changes our facial expressions, it changes our behavior, it changes the way we look at things, and it changes us. Why did God create us? Why were we born? Why are we living? Please, if you have those questions, look at today's passage. There is one answer to that. To praise God. To praise God, God created us. To praise Jesus Christ, God created us. Apostle Paul, who experienced God's blessings, confessed that we need to praise God, that and so when we learn from that, so God is leading us to be thankful and to praise Him. And we need to come to the realization, we are okay with Jesus Christ. When we have Jesus Christ, our lives are okay. So let's make our living, live our lives, understanding all these blessings that we have. Now, let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, you have given us all the spiritual blessings. We are chosen because of you, and our sins are forgiven. And you gave us the Holy Spirit to assure us that of their salvation. We will let us continue to praise you and in thanks. Even if we have challenges in this world, help us realize that we are okay because you have already given us so many blessings. We will have a communion. So help us realize our blessing through the communion as well. Help us to continue to praise you, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.